Most of us have heard that northeastern Minnesota is one of the darkest places in the world, making it great for nighttime sky viewing. Now, part of the region is applying for certification from the International Dark Sky Association. And here to tell us more is Ashley Wilson, dark sky intern at Voyageurs National Park. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure having you. Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm sitting in Voyageurs National Park headquarters.
All right, and that's in International Falls?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So you're a dark sky intern at Voyageurs this summer. What does that mean?
It has been my sole duty to help the park make the application for this dark sky park certification. So it's been my job to make sure that we're meeting all the regulations and guidelines set forth by the International Dark Sky Association and making sure that we're having all the tools, all the dark sky measurements, and all of our lights are compliant before we apply for the certification.
Well, that sounds like a lot of stuff that you have to be in charge of.
Yeah, it was quite the summer, but we got it done.
Yeah, when did you start?
I started at the beginning of June, and it was just a three-month position. My internship is actually with Future Park Leaders of Emerging Change, and that is a program with the National Park Service where they host 10 interns every year. Parks have to apply for an intern to help them with a climate change-related issue. The Voyageurs had to apply for an intern to come work on this specific issue this year.
So did you know that you were going to be an intern before you started this? And you just didn't know where you were going to go, or how did that work?
I applied for a few of the internships at the beginning of this year, and I wanted to pick something specifically with artificial light. I'm currently getting my master's degree in sensor ecology at California Polytechnic State University. So I was hoping to find an applied management position that allowed me to use my research background. So luckily, Voyageurs had this position available where I'd be helping alleviate light pollution within the park and this region. So it's a perfect fit for both of us.
Nice. Yeah. So you started the beginning of the summer and you didn't know right away that you were going to come to Minnesota, I suppose.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise. I've never been out to Minnesota, but it's been a great experience hunting loons, or not hunting them literally, but, you know, looking for them very enthusiastically. But,
sure.
Yeah, it's been great.
So how long do you get to stay?
Today's actually my last day on the job, and I'm going back to school next week.
Oh, wow. Well, that's quick. This summer, tell us specifically what do you do during the day, or do you do mostly your things at night?
Most of what I do has just been research and finding everything there is to know about outdoor lights. And believe me, it's quite complicated. There's a lot to know about the correct color temperature, how lights are used, where they should be used, when should they be used. So using all these different science and background that people have put together and compiling all that information into one solid document, and then using that information to upgrade lights in our park. So I have had assistance from the Natural Sounds and Night Skies Division of the National Park Service, and they're located in Fort Collins in Colorado. And they helped me identify what are good examples of lights here in the park and those that need to be updated. And then I have to provide suggestions on how to make lights more efficient and mitigate negative effects on public health and wildlife. So finding the correct balance of helping with public safety out of recreational areas while also only using light when we need it and being able to put that forward and prove to IDA that we're making this commitment to preserve the night sky for future generations.
So why are dark skies important?
They provide a wealth of benefits. Not only do they contain magnificent views of stars, celestial objects, the northern lights, they also represent a deep cultural relationship we have with the night sky, as we have used seasonal star patterns for thousands of years to tell stories and navigation. It also affects natural populations of wildlife, so species like bears and wolves and loons all use their environment not only during the day but during at night, so it's equally as important to make sure that the nocturnal habitat is as pristine as the diurnal habitat. It also relates to public health. Light can actually interfere with our circadian rhythm or our daily cycle. So making sure that you're using light correctly and using a lower color temperature, so like that warm yellow glow light, is actually going to be better for our visitors when they come visit the park, and even safety. So having an increased use of light is actually does not deter crime or any negative effects. So you want to make sure that the light you're using is actually lighting on your intended target and it's not interfering with your ability to see. So with all of these benefits, we also have another great thing we're looking forward to, and that's marketing to astrotourism or astronomical tourism.
Exactly.
So there are these dark sky enthusiasts who travel all over the world to hunt down these certified places because they know the special meaning it is to find the natural resource that is the night sky. So by saying Voyagers is a dark sky park, that means they can guarantee they will see things like the Milky Way. They can see like meteor showers that we just had this month. Maybe the Northern Lights will come out this weekend. And these are views that people in the United States are quickly losing. Light is actually growing at a 2% annual rate every year. And even though it seems like a very big amount, when you put that increase over several decades, you will find that you won't be able to see the view of the stars anymore.
Sure.
And so we are just making sure that this is a guarantee that you can see the stars when you're out here. And it's what's really great about Voyagers is it's centrally located, so you don't have to go out to the west. You don't have to go out to Utah or all these other places to see the stars. You don't have to go somewhere as remote as Alaska.
Yeah.
So it's really great.
It seems like when I was looking at the list of dark sky areas, a lot of them were out west.
Absolutely.
Is that because of the population on the east coast, or why is it the west?
Yep, that's exactly right. And we colonized the east way before we got out to the west. So we have centrally concentrated cities and highways all throughout the east. And so by the time we finally made it out to the west, our cities got a little bit more dispersed.
Sure.
And so now we have like these great big tracts of protected lands. So you don't have as much encroachment by things like sky glow and light pollution. So it's easier for these western parks to get these dark sky park certifications. However, there are smaller areas in the east. I think a couple in Virginia just got certified. There's actually a couple places in Florida that are certified. But we are in a really great disposition where we already have great views of the stars here. So let's just make sure to continue to preserve that resource before it goes away.
So the certification is from the International Dark Sky Association. Where is that located?
They are located in Tucson, Arizona, and they are the recognized authority on light pollution and combating light pollution worldwide. So they're actually a quite small organization, but their sole purpose is just to lend aid and expert advice to organizations, partners, and even communities who want to take preventive action against the negative impacts of light pollution.
Okay, so Voyager National Park decided that they wanted to go for this and get this certification. Tell us about the process. How does that start, and what does it entail?
I guess the first part would just be to reach out to IDA and let them know there is an interest, and they provide you a point of contact throughout this entire process. So there's always someone leading you through all the steps and all the requirements.
Okay.
Luckily, last year we had a professor come out and he performed a light inventory. So going out to each individual light at all our facilities, saying what color temperature they were and whether or not they're compliant. And that's rather a big task. We have about 280 lights here at the park, but I'd rather take that over than something like Grand Canyon National Park, which has over 5,000 lights. That would have taken me all summer.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that it's not no artificial lights. It's what you do with those artificial lights.
Right. So that's a good point. We're not trying to take away light because light is very beneficial, but you can use it more effectively and efficiently.
So how long does it take to get that designation?
I think in total, it takes about 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
And so even though this process started before I got here, we're thinking by the time we get everything in and update all of our lights, that will apply officially beginning of next year at some point. And then if we're lucky and everything goes through correctly, we'll be certified this time next year.
Wow. So we still have another year. You have still have another year at Voyagers probably before you get that certification.
Right. But okay. It's coming along. And other parks are also applying at the same time. So, for example, I know Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness and Superior National Forest is applying, as well as our Canadian neighbor, Quetico Provincial Park. And so if they also apply around December, maybe the beginning of next year, then you'll have three major parks and protected areas all getting the certification.
So the work that you do, you're not working on the Boundary Waters Canoe Area. You're specifically at Voyagers?
I'm specifically at Voyagers, but I have been communicating with leadership staff at both Quetico and Boundary Waters because I am spending so much time on these applications that I was just also offering my advice and anything that I find that I think they might find informative. So, for example, this last month, all three parks went out and we collected sky quality measurements. And so one of the requirements to be a dark sky place is to make sure that you do indeed have dark skies. So the measurement is in magnitudes per square arc second. And so basically you just take a little meter and it shoots a laser into the sky and it estimates the amount of light pollution in a cone-shaped area. And when you go around your entire park, you take a bunch of these measurements and you have to go out during true night. So in summer, we don't have a lot of night hours out here. So, you know, we have people running around at midnight or 1 in the morning trying to get these night sky measurements. But luckily that was all done, and we're all way surpassed the minimum requirements of the Dark Sky Park, which is great. And it was really great collaborating with these other agencies to make sure that we got this step completed.
We're speaking with Ashley Wilson. She is a Dark Sky intern at Voyagers National Park. We're so glad that you are joining us. How can people learn more about the IDA?
Their website is darksky.org, and they have a wealth of information available. If you want to know about light pollution and how it's created, they have resources there available for you. They also have a link to tell you where other certified places are, not only in the United States, but around the whole world. So if you want to go to New Zealand or Europe, or if you are traveling in the United States and you wanted to see where are the dark skies, they'll tell you exactly where it is. If you are a teacher and if you want to incorporate the night skies into your lesson plan, they have really great outreach materials for you. So there's a lot of really great information on their website, and I highly suggest that you check it out.
Sounds great. So the places that we've been talking about, the Grand Canyon, Voyagers, they're really large areas. Do they have to be that large to do this, the look for the certification?
There's no minimum requirement for size. I think I was just using those examples. Grand Canyon was just certified this June, so that's why it was on my mind. I was quite excited about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, Voyagers. But it doesn't have to be a park or a managed area. A community or an urban dark sky place can also receive certification. And so it's really great. Some of their examples they have on the IDA's website are gateway communities to these parks. So the park works in collaboration with their park partners and also these communities. So they can also advertise for astrotourism at their local scale. And hopefully by working with the city of Grand Marais, that you will also get to be certified at some point.
Yeah.
That would be the great goal.
Yeah, no kidding. So once you get the certification, how do you have to do certain things to keep it? Is it always, or do you have to, I don't know, do you have to ask permission to put up different lights? What happens?
Yeah, so when you apply for a certification, one of the stipulations is at least 2/3 of your lights meet the compliance regulations. But then after you get the certification, they ask 5 years later, 90% of your lights meet compliance. And then 10 years after you get your certification, 100% of all lights at your facilities meet the compliance. So So they give you a little bit of time to invest and find ways to change lights with the long-term goal that all of your lights will meet these standards. And then another goal is to continue to do outreach and education events. So, for example, Voyagers just hosted two public forum events this week at our park visitor centers. And so we were telling visitors and local residents about this Dark Sky Park certification. We gave them examples of good uses of outdoor lighting, and then what are all the benefits of becoming a Dark Sky Park. We'll be also hosting a couple Dark Sky Ranger programs starting this winter, so that'll be really exciting, just providing new ways for people to interact with the dark sky here in the park.
Well, Ashley, what is next for you? Will you be going back to California now?
I am indeed. I am hoping to finish my master's degree at the beginning of next year. And then after that, I'll just go where the wind takes me and hopefully find a job and continue to work for the dark skies wherever I go.
Great. Well, Ashley Wilson, dark sky intern at Voyagers National Park. She's been talking to us about how Voyagers is applying for certification from the International Dark Sky Association. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right.